Je vous remercie, Madame.
Thank you, Madam Bilal. First, I'd like to thank our panelists for their briefings and the ideas that they shared with us. Thanks also go to all the participants for their interest in the Geneva Conventions and above all the issues that they raised. It's been a rich debate. It's given us much food for thought on ways and means to put these conventions into practice. The ultimate goal being to save civilians and to minimize suffering during conflict. However, there's one thing stands out from the discussions this morning. The difficulties that surround the preservation of life and human dignity in conflict situations, which aren't necessarily the result, as was said and repeated, it's not necessarily the result of an absence of rules governing war, but non-respect of those rules. And therefore, there is a gap, not to say a worrying disconnect, between international law and facts on the ground. Furthermore, the discussions have highlighted best practices, which allowed us to bridge some of the gaps identified and improve the lives of millions of people who should benefit from protection pursuant to IHL. Special emphasis was placed on the role of states in exercising their influence to ensure the respect for international humanitarian law. This can contribute to making political will evolve in the right direction. And here, I fully agree with Mr. Egeland. Even when combating terrorism, there needs to be respect for international humanitarian law. The struggle against terrorism cannot in no way justify a violation of the Geneva Conventions. However, we note with regret that non-state actors persist in violations of international humanitarian law. Therefore, it is high time for the international community, which has a responsibility to guarantee the implementation of the Geneva Conventions, to impose the commitment to accountability to all non-state actors and their leaders at various levels, military and political. And again, I'm in agreement with Mr. Egeland. It's not just the individual, it's sort of the whole chain of military and civilian chain of command that must bear responsibility. Impunity for those non-state actors would lead to a banalization of their violations. Hence the importance of bringing them to justice for their acts and ensuring there should be no impunity in the face of international humanitarian law. Together, we can make the difference for the benefit of the many men, women, and children who live in suffering in the midst of armed conflict. I'd also like to make two comments. We fully agree with Madam Ouara when she stressed the need for complementarity between the 49 Convention and the 51 Convention on Refugees, and the vital need for cooperation between the High Commission, the UNHCR, and the humanitarian community. It's thanks to the consistency of the action that we can ensure broader support and protection for civilians. I'd also like to, pursuant to the questions asked, international humanitarian law isn't there to resolve wars or conflicts or provide solutions to the root causes of those conflicts, but rather to provide, it's there to provide protection and offer hope and support to civilian populations. So there you have it. I want to conclude by thanking you all for being with us today, for participating. I will see you again back in the same room at 3 p.m. on the event on the transition from the phase of rescue activities to development activities. Thank you once again to the panelists, to the moderator, and to the participants. Meeting adjourned.